Reading from the first verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, A great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twig and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle, with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrow of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, Shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the forest where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon, and hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, and that the kingdom might be based, that it might not lift itself up, but the keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him, in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounds and building forts to cut off many persons. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely mine oath, that he hath despised in my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all of his fugitives with all his band shall fall to the sword. And they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, the Lord is speaking a parable here concerning Israel. But when I think of the parable that he used here concerning Israel, and how that he brought it to pass just exactly like he said that he would do, it makes me think of our own nation, America. America has done so much like Israel. And I'm persuaded to believe that if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if the Lord is the same to every nation, that he never changes, that he's always the same, I believe that the same thing that he did to Israel, he'll do to the United States. The only difference is, I don't believe that God will ever give America another chance. I know that God gave Israel another chance, another opportunity. But I don't believe that he will ever again, or that he gave Israel one, but I don't believe he'll ever give America one. I want to talk with you for just a few minutes, and these little pamphlets you see here, I've got something on them. This is Young People Tonight, and I just want to talk with you, but I want to discuss a little something with you. Now, here in Ezekiel, it is obvious that God has punished Israel according to what Ezekiel said he would punish them. The day that we live in proves that. But God has not yet, as of yet, he's not really punished America. But he's going to. He's going to punish America. When he told Abraham that there would come a day when the iniquity of the Egyptians would be full, and then he would punish them, he meant every word that he said. And though many years passed by, the hard bondages of Egypt continued, and God's people continued to be enslaved and continued to have problems and continued to suffer. But one day there came the fulfillment of the words of God, in that God cannot lie. God said, someday, Abraham, the iniquity of the Egyptians shall be filled up to the brim. And in the day that their iniquity is full, I will visit the land of Egypt. And I will visit my people, and I will remember all of the evil doings of Egypt, and I will visit their iniquity upon their heads. Did he keep his word? He kept it to the T according to history. Now then, God said to Israel, when Israel was in the Canaan land, everything was fine with them. Everything was rich. Everything was getting along real good. God said, because thou hast forgotten me, Israel, said you've forgotten God days without number. And because you've forgotten me, he said, I will carry thee away into Babylon. Did he do it? He did it. God kept his word. It took a number of years. God doesn't just do things overnight. The Bible tells us that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But he did keep his word. Then God, when he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Is that right? And he blessed Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him dominion over all of the nation and all of the land. And he said to him, he said, whoever you want to keep alive, you can keep them alive. Whoever you want to kill and destroy, you can kill and destroy. And so it was that the Bible said, whosoever he would keep alive, he kept alive. Whomsoever he would destroy, he destroyed them. Until one day Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up. One day he got lifted up. The great king of Babylon, one day got lifted up. And when he got lifted up, God began to take him down and drive him out with the beast. And the prophecy of the Lord said, cut down the tree and let seven times pass over it. The Bible said his hair grew out like feathers and his nails grew out like claws. And he was like a wild animal wandering around the wilderness. Is that right? And God said, let him stay out there and let the dews of heaven fall on him until he knows that God is the one that rules, and that God lifts up one and God puts down another, and that God has his way in all things. Did God do that? He said he would do it. Did he do it? Did he fulfill the prophecy of it? And in the day when Nebuchadnezzar, or the great king, was restored to the throne, something happened. Is that right? In the day when the great leader came back to the throne, or that is the great king of Babylon, he did not walk through the palace again and look around and say, look what my hands have gotten me, and look what I've done. But he walked around through the palace and lifted his hands to God, And he said, God in heaven giveth. God is the one that taketh. God is the one that does this. And God rules. And whoever God wants on the throne, he puts on the throne. Is that right? God did that because they failed to worship God. When God gave the kingdom into the hands of the great Roman power, and they became the domineering powers of the earth, and the papacy of Rome did like he wanted to, all because they turned religious and began to call on God, God allowed them to be lifted up. When Constantine began to favor the Christians, God elevated them and brought them up. Is that right? But in the day when they began to persecute the Christians and began to destroy everything that was godly, and the person got lifted up, God took the kingdom down just like he did every other kingdom until they knew that God was the one that ruled in heaven and in earth. And then came the great land of America. Then came the great day that we're living in now, and the great people that are living in America today, and God elevated them and raised them up because they worshiped God and they called on God and they turned to God and fasted and prayed and built churches throughout the land and taught people to worship God. And he blessed us, is that right? But now we've come to the time when we are failing to listen to what God has to say, what the preacher thinks about it, what the Bible says about it, and we've turned to the seminaries and turned to the wicked tree of knowledge, and we're taking what they have to say about it, and we're forgetting about the Word of God, and we're making our own way, and we're making our own religious order, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says, it's just whatever we feel about it, that's what we do. And what's happened to America? Babylon is fallen, she's fallen, she's fallen. America is crumbling, her monetary values are no more. Her morals are no more. There's no more decency, no more motherhood. Politicians are rotten, the law is rotten. Everything is turned rotten, everything has come up as a stink in the sight of God. And God has withdrawn his spirit and his sense of direction from them and is on the verge of tearing everything in the land of America to pieces. And everybody, he said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And they've forgotten God. The Bible said that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Is that right? All nations, whether it's Germany, whether it's America, whatever it is, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. All right, now, I've made the statement that there were certain things that was going to take place. I explained how that I felt that they would take place. And after Sister Betty and I went over to Washington and sat in on Congress, I came back and I said, now this denotes a great turning of events and that everything from the church order will be changed, even to the galaxies that are in heaven. They will take a change. Is that right? It has happened exactly the way that we've said, step by step, to show that it was God speaking to the people. And even now we're on the verge of the greatest change in the galaxies that we've ever known. The change is so tremendous until scientists is predicting that it will tear the earth all to pieces. We're on the verge of doing it. They thought the sun would last for many, many millions of years. Now they decided something has happened, that they were mistaken. I elaborated a little bit on this not too long ago, just kind of briefly. But tonight, I thought maybe I'd take my time and talk with you and read an article or two to let you know that something is taking place. Now, these things are outstanding. I want to ask Brother Taylor, if he will, to come and read these. And I want you to listen real careful now. And I want him to take his time and read these little bulletins here. And I want to comment when he gets through with them. I want to comment. I'd like for him to read both of them because they're not that much, you know, not enough to end of the service here in it. And I'd like for him to read it. Brother Taylor, if you will.
The Rapture, Christmas 1975, with a question mark. This bit of information is currently being shared in several current church newsletters, and I thought I would share it with you. The book, The Jupiter Effect, is a report of scientific conclusions reached by the co-authors Stephen Plageman, a NASA researcher, and John Gibbon, science editor of a British magazine, Nature. In a publication by Salem Kirban, and also in Newsweek magazine, parts of the report have been quoted, and we share here at Christmas 1982, the planets of our solar system will be in nearly perfect alignment on one side of the sun. Their gravitational pull will most likely cause huge storms on the sun's surface. These storms could alter wind direction on Earth, reducing the speed of the planet's rotation and triggering serious earthquakes. Number one, great increase in magnetic activity on the sun. Huge storms, sunspots, and solar flares will occur. Number two, the ionosphere may be seriously affected and great changes occur in the Earth's atmosphere. Number three, radio and television communications will be disrupted. Number four, weird lighting effects from northern lights will burst through the sky. Number five, wind direction will be changed. Number six, rainfall and temperature patterns will be greatly altered. Number seven, the two scientists warn that the Earth's rotation will be affected. The length of days will be changed. Number eight, solar activity in the late 50s, 60s, and 1972 has already increased the number of earthquakes and slowed down the Earth's rotation. But the two astronomers warn that by 1982 there will be many earthquakes, large and small. In one region where one of the greatest fault systems lies today under a great strain, long overdue for a giant leap forward and just waiting the necessary kick, is California. The nine planets in Earth's solar system appear on one side of the sun every 179 years. However, the astronomical effect upon Earth's environmental conditions and solar activity doubtless has always depended upon the degree of their alignment. From what Gribben and Plageman are projecting for 1982, it appears all nine planets will be in nearly perfect alignment. The powers of heaven will be shaken. These facts agree with what Scripture says will be happening at the end of the seven-year tribulation period of Earth's future history. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, Matthew 24:29. Joel said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, Joel 2:31. The book of Revelation gives a most exacting picture of the events to come. If you have a living Bible, read Revelation chapter 6 through 19 from it. Now read Matthew 24 from the living Bible. There are many, many scriptures that tell us Jesus is coming back again. Acts 1:11 lets us know definitely that he is coming. And he is coming for his people to rescue them from the terror of the tribulation that we have been talking about in these verses. Seeing then that all these shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3:11 and 12. As one brother shared in his newsletter, this ought to be a time of getting ready. If the time following the tribulation is being described in these scientific predictions, then we need to back up in time 7 years to see the approximate time or season of the coming of Jesus for the rapture of his church. That season is the Christmas season of 1975. Praise God, we are not children of the night, but children of the day. The scripture says that we will not be taken by surprise, but we will know the season of his coming. Romans 13:11-14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 9. Revelation 3:10. Luke 21:36. The signs of his return are everywhere. The latter rain that was prophesied is falling. It could well be that we will be home for Christmas. Let us at any rate be sure to live our last few days in the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Here's a little more that I'd like for him to read. Now, this is a couple of articles here that came to Sister Lynn, and she forwarded them on to us. And I've got some articles. I get mail from all over the different parts of the world, and I get some astounding things. And I've got some information down at the house that if you could hear concerning the lining up of the planets and what is coming off, it would really tear you up. Now, this right here is another article, and I want you to listen at it. Brother Taylor, if you can start right here from Moody's Monthly. Read all the way down. Skip all of this right here. And then start back and read down to this poem.
All right. Dr. Hendrik Elderman, special analyst of the Common Market Confederacy, announced from Brussels that a computer has been installed in the administration building of the market headquarters that is a self-programming unit that has over 100 sensing input units. With this computer, the world trade will be computerized. The master plan involves a digital numbering system for every human on Earth. The computer would assign each citizen of the world a number to use for all buying and selling to avoid problems of ordinary credit cards. The number would be invisibly laser tattooed on the forehead or back of the hand. The number would show up under infrared scanners to be placed at all checkout counters and places of business. Dr. Elderman suggests that by using 3 6 digital units, the entire world could be assigned a working credit card number. One man could have at his fingertips the number of any man on earth. It is also reported that President Ford will appoint a special commission to study the thought of doing away with money and letting everyone buy and sell on credit. The commission, authorized by Congress last year, would study the complex social and economic issues that arise as financial institutions drop their current reliance on cashes, on checks, and shift toward the widespread use of money in the form of electric impulses and to bank accounts which exist solely in the memory cores of computers. This is but a confirmation of the prophecy in Revelation 13:15-17, concerning the time of the Antichrist rule during the tribulation. Reading, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. If we are so close to the tribulation, which will ensue after the rapture, how close we must be to the rapture. Hallelujah. Remember that we told you.
I want to comment just a little bit on this, and I'm not going to hold you very long if you'll... Still pretty warm in here to me. I'm sweating up here, but I want you to listen for just a few minutes now. I just want to comment just a few minutes and remind you of some of the things that I mentioned to you. This is scientific predictions and acknowledgement here. I made the statement a number of years ago, and some of you that were with us still remembers or recalls what I said about it. A number of years ago, I said that there will come a time in the future when they will give you free medical aid and they will do away with the money, do away with any kind of paychecks. Everything will be done away with, and all you'll do is work for the government. They will appoint you a certain job to do, certain things that has to be done, a daily task according to hours and whatever pleases them, and that you won't have anything. They'll have everything, and they'll be in complete authority, in complete rule, and you will be under the complete jurisdiction of the government and of whatever they want you to do, and that whatever you need will be supplied to you according to all things common. Is that right? Now, some didn't believe this when I said it, but did you know that right now doctors and dentists and some of the others are beginning to complain because the government has already closed in on them, and they are making them come under a ruling to where they receive according to an all-thing common basis. As a matter of fact, Toby ran into a little trouble on this not too long ago. He related a case to me. And some of the doctors and dentists and different ones are complaining about it because it has taken away a lot of their prosperity, and it's taking away a lot of their power to commercialize off of people. No one shall escape the mark of the beast. When we think of it, we think of doctors and dentists and lawyers and great people of prestige being able to evade this. But there'll be nobody that will be able to get around this or to evade the issue when God puts it into motion. The Bible said that He causes both rich and poor alike to receive the mark. You say, how can He do it? I made the statement years ago. I said, the only way He can do it is to get control of the rich man's money. I said, that's the only way He can do it. I want you to listen for just a few minutes tonight. And I want to relate a few things and point out something. Because when you read things like this, a lot of times it doesn't mean anything and it doesn't register because people are not able to comprehend what's being said. They don't understand. They can't fathom what's going on. But that's why God has the ministry in the earth. That's why God speaks to people so that they might explain and show the thing that people might escape that which is coming upon the earth. One of the first things that I want you to remember is that the Bible says that as a snare shall this come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the earth. As a snare. A lot of people say, well, I think, Brother Pike, that there's going to be a great warning. We're going to know when everything begins to take place. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said as a snare. That means just like you said, a snare for a bird. The bird doesn't know it's there. As a snare. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah. He said they knew not when the flood came. Is that right? They didn't know. All they had was the preaching of the word. And they had the warnings from God. But they didn't heed them. And they went on and they thought, well, it's just like it's always been. Noah keeps telling us it's going to rain. He keeps telling us some great disaster's coming. But after all, who is the bald-headed preacher that says that? After all, we can think for ourselves. We know something. Moses, do you think you know everything? Miriam and Aaron had to have a little chiding with Moses and said, do you think you're the only prophet? Do you think you know everything? Moses wasn't trying to know everything. Noah wasn't trying to know everything. They were only trying to tell the people what God had told them, to try to help the people see what was coming so they could get ready for it. But see, the devil trying to spot and blemish it and throw a spot or blemish on it had to have some intellectual brilliance in somebody to try to make it look bad, to say, we know too. But listen, folks, when God says something, he means it. As I related to you before, Brother Taylor spoke this, when God sets a certain thing, it's coming to pass. God's word is settled in heaven, and it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed. It's the same to every generation. Now then, if that is true, then that means something is about to take place. I want you to listen. Something is about to take place. Even the scientists are beginning to see it. Everybody is beginning to notice that something is taking place. Now, scientists doesn't feel it's the coming of the Lord. Scientists feels like that it's just the end of the world. Something's about to blow apart. But they don't know anything about God. But we're trying to tell you, just like this writer did here, that all of these things, they are a confirmation of what God said would happen. When God got ready for the ark to float, God had everything prepared. People begin to see different things take place. And if they had been wise, they would have known it was a confirmation of what Noah told them. God tells us in his word, he said, in the last days there shall be pillars of smoke. Just like when the atom bombs burst and the great billows of the unusual looking pillar of smoke rises, nothing like it. Is that right? In the last days I will pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord, upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my handmaidens in that day I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. God told us of the signs, and then he rebuked us when he said, you can discern the signs of the weather. He said, but you're a hypocrite because you can't discern the signs of the time. So then we see the signs of the time taking place, because we're not children of darkness, but we're children of light, that day should not come upon us unaware. We're not children of intellectual brilliance and education is trying to define everything and figure it out under a microscope. But we're trying to believe what God said about it. What the Savior tells us about it. What the preacher tells us about it. We're trying to come to a place to where we can accept what Christ has to say about it. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, we know that these people are not lying. You say, how do we know, Brother Pike? Because already here in the little town of Monroe, we've got one of the stores there where they're bringing about this honest face card. So we know that something is happening. We know that which God said was coming to pass is already beginning to happen. I mean, we can see that around us. The signs of the time, wicked men growing worse. Said in the last days there'd be earthquakes. We can see that. All of the signs of the sun and in the moon and the stars, we can see those signs. He said they would be in the last days. How would we know anything about it? By scientific means. He put scientists here to be able to discern those signs of the heavens up there, to where they could pass them on to us and we might know that God has kept his word. He said there'd be signs up there. Now then, where are we standing at this very hour? The mark of the beast is moving right in. I made the statement. I said, we're going to be here in the early stages of the mark of the beast. Have you remember me saying that? I said, we'll be here. I said, let's withdraw. As the Bible said, come out of her, my people. Being our partakers of a sins has reached up to the moon, up to heaven. Is that right? Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Is that right? Come out of her. I made the statement. I said, let's get away from the flesh. Let's get away from the things of the world. When he says, come out of her, he's speaking of the flesh. Come out of her. Let's do something else. And I told the people, I said, let's get out here. Let's get us a little place out here somewhere to where we can grow the food that we need and where we can fellowship. God has given us a school. God has given us a church. God has given us a little market. God's given us a bank. God is giving us the other things that we need if we labor together, if we work together as a unit to where we can escape these things. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you just got a brainstorm. You don't know what you're talking about. All right, let's just look at it for a few minutes and see if it's a brainstorm. Let's see if I know what I'm talking about. First of all, what's the need of withdrawing and getting out of the system? What's the need of getting out here? Can't we just go on up there and get what we want? Can't we? What's the need of withdrawing out here? Let's just look at it and see what's the need of withdrawing and why we need to separate ourselves and be a separate people. Not just because they're sinners, because the Bible said Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans. That's not the reason we want to reach those people. Not trying to be more holier than thou so our ladies can get out here and wear the long dresses and the men can dress decent. That's not what it is. We ought to do that spontaneously without anybody having to tell us, because that's decent and that's what the Bible teaches. But it's more to it than that. We're going to have a livelihood. We're going to have some system, some means of survival. Already, look at the schools. They're filthy. Even the little bitty fellas, I mean the little bitty fellas, are taking dope in the very elementary grades. They're taking dope. Some of the little fellas are actually killing. The papers are carrying it. What's causing them to do that? Sitting under a television set while the teacher frolics. Seeing the things of the world, being indoctrinated with all of the filth of the world. That's what it is. Pressing Christ out of the mind. They don't teach them anything about God and what little they was teaching them. Some witch of our age got up and got the government on her side and got that taken out of school. And I made the statement when they did it. I said, don't you understand what they're doing? The Catholics have their own system. The Catholics have their own school. And if they can brainwash the Protestant people, then all they've got to do is come in and take over and call themselves a bunch of priests, and we don't know nothing from nothing. And whatever they tell us about religion, we have to receive it. Whatever they tell our children about religion, our children have to receive it because they don't know anything about it. They've got their own schools. You're not going to take prayer out of their schools. But what they want to do is get control of us. The old mother harlot is still moving. Still moving ever since the days of Martin Luther when the daughters pulled away from her. She's still moving, trying to get control of them. But God says to us, Babylon is fallen, she's fallen, she's fallen. She's become the den and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Every kind of spirit is in Babylon. Worship voodoo, Buddhist, anything that you want to do, worship a statue, take dope, be a drunkard, be a harlot, be a liar, be a cheat, be a cunning businessman, do anything you want to do. It's Babylon. Modern Babylon, America, confusion. Nobody knows anything anymore. I used to think I knew a little something about the law. But the law's got to the place now to where the law does what it wants to do. You can't do nothing about it. Now, what is it? We are right at the very end of the trail. As a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Let me show you. As a snare. I made the statement that one day all they have to do is set up a little booth. Send word out to you that they're fixing to give you an identification number. And they want you to report one at a time, five at a time, 15 at a time, up at the courthouse. They got a little booth. All you have to do is step in it, look right this way. Nothing to it. Just come up, line up, folks, step in it, look right this way. Push a little button, so that's all. You step out, and nobody knows nothing. And they say within 30 billionths of 1 second that the laser beam can kill the pigment of the skin and put the digital numbers that's required to control you right in the forehead,
or on the hand. Now we know that everybody already is thoroughly indoctrinated with a number. Everybody. Some of you can say your social security number by heart. You've already got it in your head. Now, but the thing is, there's got to be some numbers that's going to be like a standard. Because you can't just use any number on those computers. Somebody said, oh, the computers will do anything. No, it won't. It's like Wayne said when he got his wife out of the hospital. He tried to tell him what church he belonged to. He said, this is the apostolic thing. The lady said, well, take Baptist, Methodist, all this, but said every time I put apostolic in there, said it kicks it back out. Kicks it back out. Why? God didn't make it to take apostolic faith, because the apostolic faith belongs to Christ. It belongs to Christians. It don't belong to the computer. I made the statement the other night. They said that this electronic monitor, they called it, said it's doing everything anymore. Even bartending. Serves you your beer. Now, they've got this giant ready for what they want. Now, you remember some of the things that I said. It's got to come to an all thing common, because that's a communistic practice. That's Satan's way to antitype what God does. That's what makes it antichrist. I look at it for just a few minutes. Where are we right now? Coming on the earth as a snare. Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think that I will know when they go to put that number on me? God has warned you by the preacher and warned you by the preacher and warned you by the preacher and told you to get away from the evils of the world. You'll move in there and take the number and you won't know anything until it's all over. Somebody said, well, God wouldn't do that. Yes, God will do that. When God tells you not to do something and you go on and do it, God will say, go on, Balaam, and do whatever you want to do, and you'll find yourself taken in the snare, and you won't know until the dart strikes through your liver. Because you're stubborn, unbelievers won't listen, got your mind on sex, making money, a man runs after a woman runs after the man, and they've got their minds on the beggarly elements of the world. You poor, poor people. Anybody that is so poor in their mind and their spirit, that is like a dumb animal. Some man that has to run after every woman comes along, he's to be pitied. He needs to be in the insane asylum somewhere. He's got a devil. The same way with a woman. Somebody that just has to buy all the time. They've got to buy. They've got to have flashy clothes, and they've got to have this, and they've got to have that. They're to be pitied. They're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. God made them for the purpose of burning them in the furnace of hell. But can you tell them anything? No. No, their lust, their cravings, their desires, they're not going to leave that. You might be smart, preacher, and I might drop you a few pennies. As I pass by, I might drop you a few pennies over in the basket. But I'm smart enough to know what I want in life. You poor fellow, you poor woman, you're to be pitied. You don't have any understanding. You're a brute beast that don't have any understanding. You're just like a dog that follows the sniff of your nose. That's right, and the wag of another dog's tail. You're somebody that's going around in a circle in the wilderness of your own carnal reasoning. You don't have any understanding. You're to be pitied. The Bible said you're blind and can't see afar off. You don't see when good comes. And nobody can't tell you anything. But folks, you're on the verge of being dropped into a burning lake of fire. And as I said, once you get the number, You can't go back and say, God, I'm sorry. There is no repentance. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. There is no repentance. God said, thou art an excusable old man. You can't go back and say, Lord, it came on me as a snare. You know that I didn't mean to take it. The Bible said if you ever take the mark, there is no more rest for you night nor day. But you'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of God and the angels forever and forever and forever. Somebody said, now, Brother Pine, don't get beside yourself. You know that someday that torment will be over. Someday that fire will go out, Brother Pike. And then somebody else real smart said, well, you know there's no such thing as a hell. That's the grave. Well, then why did the rich man lift up his eyes in hell and say, I'm tormented in the flames? He said, there's some flames in this place I'm in. Why was it he said, just take a little drop of water and touch me on my tongue? He said, I'm tormented. Why was that? Why is it that the writer Jude, or why is it the writers in the scriptures, tells us that it's the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not? Why do they say that? Why does the writer say that it is eternal flame? Somebody said, well, forever and ever. You know, that's just spaces of time. But it said eternal flames. Flames that burn eternally. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. Now, it is a fact that the people are going to be snared by it. You're on the verge of the Antichrist taking over. You're on the verge of this great snare, this great calamity swallowing you up. Let's look at it for just a minute. Why is it that Ford wants to run a black man? Now listen, let's just look at things a little bit. I said the other night to save his hide. You say, how's that? Because he knows that he wasn't elected in. He knows that he got in without election. And he knows that they're not going to put him in next year unless some freak thing takes place. But he feels like if he can get the black man running with him, that he can get all of the black people to stand behind Ford. And then with them standing behind him, with the prestige and the power he's already got, that'll put him in office. Sly, cunning like a fox. They don't care for anybody but themselves. How many of you want to say? Why is it that Ford is trying to get them to consider a world operation of credit? There has to be something behind it. He isn't doing that for anything, just for nothing. There's a reason. I believe that the reason that's behind it is that they are coming down upon the government so hard by the publications to the public concerning the fraud of Social Security. I believe it's what's causing it right there. They've already run, I don't know how many articles on it in the paper, and they call it the fraud of your future, the promises of lies, and so forth. And they say there's no benefits in the Social Security benefit. That there's no future security for you. That they're lying to you. And I believe the only reason that they give benefits thus far is so that they could line their pocketbooks a little more and get more people paying into it. But now there's just enough for them. When times get hard and they realize you can't pay anything else in, then suddenly they want to cut you off because their business is no more good. They'll just take what they've already got and cut you off and use what they've got. They don't care about your benefits and your social welfare. But I said a long time ago it would come through the Social Security number. Since that time, they've taken the Social Security number and you have to have it to turn your lights on. have to have it when you get your license. They've changed the serial number in the Army to the Social Security number. Everything is becoming a Social Security benefit, and it is carrying a number to show in society where you're standing. Is that right? They call it the fraud of your future. That is, there is no benefits to it. Now, when the public begins to rise up and demand their benefits, the government's going down the drain. Communist is cunning. Communist is tearing up, opening up, bringing out everything that they can to make the law bad in your sight, to make the home bad in your sight, to make the government bad in your sight, that you'll get so confused that you won't know which way to go, that there won't be anybody that can guide you, anybody that can lead you. You won't know what to do. You understand? Why will they have to do it? What is the answer to it? In other words, what is the answer to Ford's problem? What is the answer to the world problem of economics? What is the answer to it? I can tell you what it is. Live on credit. That's the only way in the world to settle it. Why? It's the thing that God showed me in California many long years ago. I spoke of it. When God told me, put me down, and I got some paper, and I began to write and began to draw diagrams. And I began to run the Democratic Party out to the end, the Republican Party out to the end, and then I began to run communism out. And I come to find out that every one of them went into a bankruptcy. Every one of them went into a state to where they couldn't keep the nation going except communism. The only policy that'll work. Now, you've either got to get in the regime of the beast or get in God's move, because there's only two that'll work. And communism will only work as long as God lets it work. Now, it works because it's an antitype of what God's doing, and Satan's cunning enough to antitype it and make it work. But it's not a positive, it's a negative. And when God gets through with the dark ages and the developing, he'll pass on to the real thing. How many believe that? So then, what is it that's going to happen? There is one answer. The answer is that the government owns everything and you don't own anything, and the government lets you use it. That's why all of these loans have come up like it is. The bank up here, if you go to borrow money, that's not the bank loaning you money. It's the government loaning them money and them letting you have it even at a greater interest. That's true. So then who are you in debt to? Somebody said the bank. No, the government. Somebody said don't keep your little home out there. Build you a much nicer home than that. You know why? Because as long as you've got your little home out here, you are a stockholder in life. You're a stockholder in the government. But if they can swallow you up, and they do it, with their dirty, crooked systems. Just like the loans they got now. Used to, you could borrow money, and they'd charge you a little interest on it. But now they got some kind of interest that over and over and over and over, it eats you up. You could take a $700 note, I've done it, and pay $700 on the note, and maybe $200 of it will go on the principals. Are you listening? In other words, it's the devilish trick of Satan to keep you from paying for anything. And then if you manage to get a little piece paid for out here, then they've got a tax that works very convenient to see that you never own it. Folks, don't you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, but this is a great government. What's great about it? When they fled from the old country, why did they leave the old country? So that they quit taxing them. They was taxing them to death. They couldn't feed the people. And they got out and started another government. That's exactly what we're starting out here. Somebody said it must be a conspiracy. No, it's something God says do. Now, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? He can't take care of the social benefits, can he? They're getting to where they can't pay the pensions of the people that they owe. But yet they've got to do something or the people will panic. The people will mob them. You get a hold of people's money and there's people that will walk into the White House and kill Ford for it. So then what is he going to do? He's got to come up with an answer. He's got to come up with a plan. Well, what kind of plan will it be? A plan without money. That's the only he can do. He's got to switch it over. Like I said the other day, we say gold has lost its value. Gold hasn't lost its value. I don't read in the paper where gold's lost its value in any country except America. You know why it's lost its value in America? Because America's lost the gold. The foreign countries have got their certificates, their gold certificates, and we got a federal note. That's all we got. Bringing us under the powers and jurisdiction of the government, the Democratic government. We call it where the people rule. There's no such thing in America. We call this a government where the people rule for the people, by the people, and so forth. Well, we don't have any such as that anymore. We're not a stockholder. Are you listening? They say, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. As long as I got $10, and as long as you got a pig in the pen, I can give you my $10 for your pig, and you can give me your pig. You understand what I'm saying? Because I got a few dollars, and dollars are worth something. But when the gold went out, then they had to get some other standard because the people would panic. I said, well, it's no more good. Stayed good a long time. It's good enough that the Bible said God paves his streets out of it. Now, as long as I've got a dollar, then I can negotiate. I can buy from you and you can sell to me. Is that right? Sure we can do it. Why not? It's my money. I don't have to call Ford up and say I got a $10 bill down here thinking about buying a pig from somebody. I don't have to do that because it's my $10 bill. That's your pig. You understand what I'm saying? If you got a rooster you want to sell me, I ain't got to call Ford up to the senator and say, is it all right to buy? Because the monetary system, it makes me to have something that I can negotiate with. It gives me a sovereignty. But when you get control of people's money, you take their sovereignty away from them. That's why the government is writing these letters asking them, the people that are on pensions, to let them keep the checks, to do away with the checking. He read it to you right here. We made the statement, said they'll do away with the checks, they'll do away with the money, and finally they'll bring it down to a computer number to where the government will computer a number down to the bank and the bank down to the market, and the market will find out whether or not you are 666. And if you are, you're in good standing with the bank. Somebody said, well, they can tell you how much you got over there, Brother Pike. They can to begin with. But they'll do away with that too. In a little while, if you've got the number 666 and you're in good shape with the bank. If you haven't, then you don't eat. Now listen to him. As long as you've got a little money, you can negotiate, you can buy, you can sell. Are you listening? Are you really listening? You can buy, you can sell if you've got a little money. But if you haven't got any money, you can't do anything. And if money is no more good, in the sense that you can't buy nor sell because they put a credit thing in. They bring a credit system in. That solves Ford's problem. Ford brings the credit thing in. All he has to do is bring a credit thing in. And that's a cunning device to do away with the monetary system. If he brings in a credit, then somebody says, well, why worry about money? I get what I want anyway. But when you do away with your money, you do away with your sovereignty. Because Solomon said, he that borroweth is debtor to the lender. If you're buying on credit, then you're a debtor to somebody. That means you're under bondage of the law. And the law can put their finger on you at any time. That's the way it was in the state of Georgia years ago. They got in debt to the king, and the king put them in prison. And God raised up King George and took them out of prison. And this the state right here that we're living in was settled by the people that was brought out of the prison that owed the king some money. If they come up with a credit system, then there's no more money. No more money. No more money. All you have to do is get what you want on credit, and they take care of it. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about it. Like, for instance, the banker, Brother Wayne, today. The brethren have been giving the money to the bank out here for the last 3 weeks. Now listen. So then I wait for Wayne to write me a check off of the BCR out here according to what the brethren have given. Sometimes he can't do that very promptly because the brethren sometimes are not too prompt. So then he stands with me in that it's my money that you've given it to the work of the eternal abundant life. A lot of times Brother Wayne's around, he hasn't been able to give it to me. Some bill comes up for $100 or $200. Wayne said, don't worry, Brother Pike, I'll take care of it. He takes care of it. They don't have to worry. Now this is a God system. That's happened for about 3 weeks, but I'm trying to show you something. But what if I wasn't going to get any more of that money? Then where would I be standing? Are you listening to me? No, you're not. No, you're not. I got a few of you that's listening to me. You can't hear. You're too far off. You're out of hearing distance. The Bible said, if he hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Some of you don't have an ear to hear. You can't hear it. They couldn't hear it in the days of Noah. You can't hear it either. All you can hear is the tick of that watch or the feeling of that old flesh. If it gets a little late, you get a little uncomfortable. You get sleepy. You want to go home. You want me to shut up. You can't hear. You don't have an ear to hear. You don't have eyes to see. Having eyes, Jesus said, you see not. If you could see and hear, then you'd convert and you'd get into the right thing. In other words, there's a credit system. If they bring on a credit system, that's all that they have to do to set the mark of the beast in motion. And already your president is considering it. Oh, I could say a lot of things you're denying that would make your ears perk up and you know that it was right. But I can't. My hands are tied a lot of times to be able to say the things I want to say. I can't. But if they put in a credit system, if the credit system comes in, then there's no more monetary value. Is that right? That means that if they put in the credit system, they most assuredly are not going to just turn a herd of people loose like a bunch of cattle and say, just get what you want whenever you get ready. How do you agree to that? Does that make sense to you? They're not going to write me a letter and say, Brother Pike, we've decided there's no need of you working. There's no need of you worrying. While there's plenty for everybody, whenever you take an ocean to get something, just go down there and tell them you want it. How do you believe they're going to do that? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to have a Social Security benefit. They're going to have a system. And that system is going to be a numerical order because there's no possible way that you can control the world of humanity without a numerical order. There's no system given that can do that except the God system, and that's only given to God's people. So then it'll have to go to the numerical order. You'll be branded just like a herd of cattle. You'll have a number. And when that credit system comes in, then you get your number. You get what they want you to have. You take their number, and then they proportionally provide for you according to the members of the family. And according to whatever you need, they give it to you. Are you listening? When you get into the system, and when you get your number, you can start enjoying your benefits. But once they get a credit system, that means there's no more buying nor selling. Is that right? Unless you're in the system. Come on, folks, are you listening? I said as long as I had $10 and I wanted to buy a pig and a fellow had a pig, I could buy it. But if it's a credit system, it has to go through the governmental system. And I'm not part of the system. I don't have any money. My money's no good. I can't buy. And I can't sell. You said, oh, wait a minute. You ever heard of the word confiscate? Listen. If they go out through the land and everything belongs to the government, somebody said, well, I still got my pigs, I still got my cows, I still got this. You don't have anything. They have everything. Why? Because everything belongs to the bank and the bank belongs to the government. And the stores belong to the government and everything's under a computerized system. There is no more money. The rich man doesn't have any more money. All they've got to do is do away with the monetary system. And the rich man becomes just as poor as you and I. Somebody say, where do you get this? Because the Bible said they'll throw their money to the bats. It won't be any good. They'll throw it away. They'll just throw it away. It's no more good. Overnight, they can do it. You say, but Brother Pike, they can't do that. Then why was it President Roosevelt, when we were having a Great Depression, when he come in, he told the rich man, he said, if you don't turn your money loose, he said, I'll make it worthless. Did he tell them that? Did they turn the money loose? We got a little prosperity going, didn't we? If Ford does away with the monetary system, their money is worthless. There's only one thing that they can do, and that's buy and sell under the system. And they'll be a slave to the man that's at the head of the computer, which is Antichrist. Ain't nobody could get up there except the devil himself. Incarnate himself in a human body and set himself up there, take control of it. Who else can do that? Nobody can do that but him. There's only two people can do that. That's God and Satan. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that we've done come down to the closing of the door. Brethren, we've come to the end of the way. 1976, July, it ends the 200 years government of the Gentile age, and the Gentiles is going out. Her day is spent. Her time is over. Babylon is fallen. It's over. Where does that leave me and you? We better get in the Lord. We better get in Christ. We better hurry. The end of this year is almost here. That means after Christmas, there won't be but about 6 months left. And the 200 years government's over. Somebody said, well, it might go another extra month, Brother Bond. History proves that it's never gone but 200 years. Not any government. And I got a feeling it's going to be the same with this one. Now, if it doesn't, that means after July, after they pop the firecrackers this coming year, and have their little spree of fireworks, the communist is going to be in power. Come on, folks. Yes, I ain't talking about something that's 100 years away. I ain't talking about 10 years from now. I'm talking about a few months from now. And here we sit doing nothing, making no efforts to do anything. And brother, when that comes, you're not going to be able to do anything. I know that God is going to rapture us. I know that. He's going to take us out of here. And I know that we're not going to be here when the mark of the beast comes. I know that. But in the early stages of it, we are. And we're going to suffer from it unless we're set up. When the mark is fully brought about and things is fully set in order, you won't be able to have nothing like this or anything else. Because the Bible said he maketh both small, great, all of them to take the mark. And the ones that doesn't take it, he puts them to death. Because he isn't going to have any rebellion against his kingdom. There isn't going to be, like in here with Brother Pike's preaching, like in here with the church, where I have to preach to some of you and some of you rebel against me continually and do what you want to and cause division. Antichrist won't have that kind of kingdom. There'll be nobody that'll rebel against him. Because he'll kill everything that comes against him and put the mark on everything that don't. And when he puts the mark on everything that don't, they'll know they might as well go on and serve him because they don't have any hope anymore anyway. He's got it all figured out. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, not 10 years from now, I'm talking about right away. Right away. So then the only answer that Ford has got to the situation is to do away with the monetary value because he can't pay off. America's bankrupted. She's gone. She can't pay her international debts. She can't pay her local debts. And to survive, he's got to do something. And the devil's got the answer. Just do it the devil's way and it'll work. The devil's got the answer. But I don't want that, do you? I don't want that. I don't want to go that way. I'm not going that way if God will help me and give me strength. So then that means we've got to do something. And we've got to do something outside of sit around and chat. We've got to do something outside of say, well, Brother Pike, I love you and I believe it. We've got to do something outside of curl our hair and brush our teeth to get some man's wife to lust after us. Or vice versa. You understand what I'm saying? It's time that we growed up and done something, folks. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight. Every time I close out, I just about say that. But that's the truth. There is a lot of things I'd like to say. But I just have to break them up and put a little bit in here and there. Now, I'm going to try to say a few more things in close. But I want you to understand tonight that I'm not talking about a year from now. I'm not talking about 10 years from now. I'm talking about now. Something has got to be done now. You understand? Something has to be done. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I want to say again, I'm not talking about many years from now. I'm talking about doing something. Get in with Brother Pike and let's try to do something. But for Christ's sake, get out of here. You're not going to make this a little clan and a little clique. You might as well get that out of your head. I'm not put here for that. It's going to be done God's way. If you want to join the Antichrist and his crew, get out there with him. If you got a chip on your shoulder, if you feel bad at the pike, get out there with him. You're not going to come here and turn this into a slop hole. Man run after woman and woman run after man and sit back there and run around with men and women. Me not tell you about it. You don't think I'll tell you about it, young fella. You just come dragging your slop in here and see. I'll call you out and tell you by name so that everybody can see you. I want somebody that loves God. I want somebody that can stand with me. I want somebody to get away from this racial devil. I said the other day, and I want to say it to you, I'm not concerned whether they have a white man or a black man or a yellow man or a red man in the prison. I want a God man in office. I don't care what he is. Whether you have a black, red, yellow, or whatnot, he's going to be a devil when you put him up there anyway. He ain't going to do nothing for me or you or nobody else. He's a brute beast made to be taken and burned. But I want a God man. I'm looking forward to the time when the sons of God shall rise up and correct the order of the earth and bring in the thing that we're looking for. And I'm not sent here to just stand here and pet somebody. I'm sent here to tell you the truth. I love you. And I'll give you the shoes off of my feet. But I'll tell you to your face, you're a devil. If you don't believe it, meet me after service. Right out in the front of the church if you want to come out there. It don't make no difference to me if you're black or white, big or little. I don't care. That don't mean nothing to me. I'm going to do it the way God said it. If you want to link arms with me and go, all right. If you don't, that's okay with me. Somebody said, well, I'll do so and so. The world says, I could care less about what you think and what you're planning to do. I ain't got time to mess with it. I'll believe it when you do it. When you do it, that'll be soon enough for me to believe it. If you do it, then that's a good job for you. It's well done. The devil can take you and throw you into the flames of hell when you get through. And if you don't do it, then I'm not going to be a believer. Folks, we got a job to do. If you want to help me, I want you to. But if you don't, I want you to get away from Monroe, Georgia. Get away from here. Leave this thing alone, because God's trying to do something. And I need men that will stand with me. I need women that will work with me. I need those that will help me. I want to help you. I want to do what I can. But now I want you to know, in all love and sweetness, I'm not afraid of boogers. So ain't no need of you coming in here trying to scare me. I don't believe in them. I love the Lord. I love you. And I don't care what color you are. I love you. But when I feel like saying something, I'm going to say it. If it takes the skin off of your back for me to say it, if God tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. And I'm not going to draw back because I got some black people sitting here and say, well, bless God, you better be afraid. You might offend them. They can get offended if they want to. That's their business. I don't care. Now, I don't want to offend you, black folks. I don't offend you. I want to help you and lead you to God. But let me tell you something. I don't care if you get offended. When I'm preaching the gospel, you can stay offended. Brother Pike ain't coming out there and saying nothing to you. I ain't putting no sugar tits in your mouth. If you want to get in that racial mess out there, get in it. Oh, you don't like that, do you? How does he talk like that? Because I'm made like that. I preached for many years across the nation. And I've not babied black, nor white, nor yellow, nor red, or nobody else. I preached for the Indians. I preached them the same way. I preached to the Spanish. I preached them the same way. I preach to the white, I preach them the same way. I preach to the black, I preach them the same way. I got one message, it fits all of them. It's a little glass slipper. If your foot can get in it, you can have it. If you can't, you can turn back to the pumpkin and the mice. So I feel like the midnight hour's coming. All right. I love you. And I know this. I've got some of the best black people in the world here because I watch their spirits. They're trying their best to do what's right and love me. But I got one or two that they just can't get out of black power. They just can't get out of it. They need to go join the Black Panthers or somebody because they just can't get out of it. They just got to have that old racial thing, you know. Just got to have it. I'm going to say this tonight. You listen to me. I made this statement today. Some of the black people, and those that hear this tape, they'll hear it. You get out of that thing about the black man putting you, or the white man putting you in slavery. You get away from that. Somebody said, I pity myself because the white man, he put us in slavery and done us evil. Let me tell you something. The first people to ever put anybody in slavery was the black man enslaving the white man. If it's anything, he's reaping what he sowed. Go back to Egypt and look at it down there when they took the Jews down there and the Egyptians, which was black men, put them in slavery for 400 years. You get away from that crutch and that devil. God is the one that puts people in slavery for his types and shadows. He allows the devil to do it. Everybody has suffered. They suffered in the Dark Age. They suffered in Egypt. They suffered in America. You ain't got nothing to pimp and pipper yourself over. You get out there and be a man and a woman. Realize white folks has been through it just like black folks, and black folks has been through it just like white folks, and red folks has been through it just like yellow folks, and yellow folks has been through it just like any other. I'm going to say this in just a little bit, and I'm going to close. I might have been done quit if you hadn't called me to preach 15 more minutes. I'm going to say this, folks. There's a word of God that says you reap what you sow. God don't care what color you are. He's fashioned all men's hearts alike. He loves just like he loves anybody else. God ain't got no respect to person. He don't play favorites. You might look in the mirror and think your nose is prettier than anybody else's, but that don't mean nothing to God. God said you're going to reap what you sow. You understand? You're going to reap what you sow. When the Japanese cunningly and evilly and undermindingly yellow people came into Pearl Harbor and dropped the bombs and did the evil they did. They thought they got away with it. But God started a little wheel turning. It brought up what they call the atom bomb. And it wasn't long before that little seed come up and God dropped it on top of their heads. You understand what I'm saying? They reap what they sowed. And I say this, the black man, if you want to look at it like that, the black man with Sherman or with those that came from the north burned Atlanta, Georgia, and killed the little children and the women when they didn't have to do it. And God is going to raise him up and put him in Atlanta, Georgia, and let him rule in Atlanta, Georgia, and then burn the city. He's going to reap what he sowed. The white men that enslaved the Negro will reap what they sowed. They'll reap it through the tribulation period. Antichrist is going to dip them in the oil. I had a friend that come from Russia where he said they dipped them in the hot oil till the flesh fell off of their bones. God don't play favorites, folks. Some of you are pitting yourself on both sides. I've seen white folks that pity themselves until the preacher couldn't preach. Every time he goes to preach, some white brother, some white sister has to rise up. Like the Jews, I've got Jews here too. The Jews lifted themselves up, thought they were better than somebody else. All you Gentiles, a bunch of dogs. God loves us, but when God got through with the Jews, he was ready to sit down and talk with the dogs. When God gets through putting them through the tribulation period, they'll be glad to talk with the dogs. All this heady, high-minded stuff where people think they're better than somebody else. Don't be fools, folks. I love you. I want to help you. But remember, when I'm preaching, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. No matter who you are, I'm going to say it. Somebody said, well, I'll visit you at a convenient time. It's convenient tonight when I get through preaching. It's the most convenient time you could have. I read you these things tonight. Things is getting bad, folks. Things is getting rough. Wicked men are getting rough and rougher. Worse and worse. Cutting the guts out of them that testify to them. Killing them, thinking they do God service. Come out of her, folks. When I say come out of her, I don't say come out of her black folks, come out of her white folks. I say come out of her folks, my people, no matter who you are. In Christ there's no color, there's no race, there's no creed, and there's no compromising. Come out of her. Line up with me. Believe me, folks, I love you, black folks. I love you. I love you. But don't feel that Brother Pike is going to coo your way or roll your way because you got the black power. And you say, bless God, we'll get the NAACP after you. You'll take more than the NAACP to change my mind. I got as much respect for the NAACP as I have the people at the head of it. It ain't nothing but a troublemaking scheme and a money-making devil to stir up strife. That's all it is. Somebody said it's to get our rights. What rights? What right have you got to? I mean, what kind of rights have you got? You ain't got but one right. That's a right to serve God and give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. That's the only rights God gives you. White man talking about his rights. You don't want nobody to take his rights. You ain't got no rights except to the chambers of hell because of your evil. Folks, you better wake up. Stop playing like a bunch of children. And let's get in here. Do this thing right and stop this thing. Where I can preach to you as a people, not as a race, not as a creed, not as a color, but as a people. And do something to help you. If you love me, stand with me. Stop coming against me. Stop finding fault. When I say something, on the little children's night up here, when I have children up here, sometimes the black folks get offended because they feel like I don't call their children. Sometimes a mother or daddy, a white mother or daddy, I've caught your spirit and you get offended because you thought I didn't call your little girl a boy up here. I've caught your spirit like that. And you think I ought to run it the way you want to run it. I can't do that, folks. I do it the way I feel. Tonight, my own little granddaughter, I didn't have her to sing tonight. But I can't have her to sing just because she's my granddaughter. I'd already felt that I wasn't to have no more. If I see somebody moving around out there, I don't think about whether it's black or white or not. I'm not going to get on the bondage to some things to where I'm scared to speak the gospel, afraid to say something because it might not be who I think it is. I don't care who it is. If it's the banker, it wouldn't make no difference to me. If it's Ford, I'd tell him the same thing. As a matter of fact, I wrote him a letter not too long, told him the same thing. Because I don't think Ford was in there, whoever was in there. But anyway, I told the general the same thing at Fort Knox. All the same thing. I told the judge the same thing. Brother Taylor was there when the tears come down his cheek or into his eyes. I told a policeman the same thing up here in town. When he strapped his pistol on, I said, I'll take whoever I want to with me. I said, when God gets through with you, he'll tear you out of the frame. God's got no respect to person. I've done that when they had the guns, and I've done that when they had the knives. That's right. And you better believe I'm going to do it to you, so you might as well stay out of my path. I got one thing to do, and when the lion roars, he ain't going to take it back. He ain't going to take it back. He roars for you to get out of the way. I love you. When I meet you out there, I meet you as a man. When I'm speaking to you, I speak to you as God. That's the difference. I'll wash your feet and kiss them when I get through out there. But up here, I'm telling you what you got to do. All right, I want you to stand with me. I had some white brethren that come in here, and they were so sure that they was going to be my favorite. They were so sure of that. And some of them dropped more than a hat than somebody else. And they just knowed I was going to play their favorite. But it all blowed up in their face. When it got through, they found out that I didn't think no more of them than I did anybody else. I'm going to tell you something, folks, with all love and sweetness from my heart. There's great evangelists that picked up the pennies from over across the track. And they built great empires for themselves. And they got that from the poor, raggedy little fellers and mothers and daddies that didn't hardly have nothing. And when they collected all the pennies, they got to be a somebody. And they got into the eyes of the big man, and the big man wanted to fellowship them for the money and prestige. And they went down the drain with them. But Brother Pike, don't see it like that. I don't, from my heart. They tried to do that thing to me. The banker tried to be my buddy. The sheriff tried to be my buddy, wrote me a letter. He wanted to be my buddy. You know? But when they learned they couldn't be my buddy unless they live for God, then they didn't want no fellowship with me. I don't have time for the rich man. I'm looking for the poor man. The Bible said that the poor heard him gladly. The rich have their consolation. If they want to come down the same little sawdust trail as they used to, and the doctor get down and bury his face in the sawdust, and the dentist get down and bury his face in the sawdust, and all the great leaders get down and bury their face in the sawdust and call on God, then we can all get together. But I don't have no time for them. Their money don't mean nothing to me. Not nothing. Their prestige and who they are don't mean nothing to me. I love the Lord. I love Him. And I want to do something for him. And I love his people, and his people are poor folks. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? His people are poor folks. And I love them. And I'm going to do something for them if the Lord will help me. So I want you to work with me, and I want you to help me. And I want to do everything I can to help you. But for Christ's sake, as you come to work with me, remember there is one message. Every one of you. And that's the only message I got. The old preacher said it's either one or two things, holiness or hell. Holiness or hell. Somebody said, I'm Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. That's good and well, but it's still holiness or hell. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I'll go with him through the garden.
will go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him all the way. I love you tonight. I want to help you. In my heart, there's no respect of person. Brother Richard Donalds invited me over to eat the other day. I took my family. We went over to his house. He served us, and we enjoyed it. The Lord blessed us, and a great thing was taking place. I go over into the islands, and it's predominantly black. Everything is controlled by the black man, the banks, the stores, everything. I stay in black people's home. A lot of times, I don't see maybe but a few white folks, and that's when they come to church. Over there, we have white to turn out like we do black. There's some that's scattered through the islands. And I love them, and we get along, and they love me. But I preach the same gospel there that I preach here. Those wild, barbarous people, I've met them to their face, told them how evil they were. But among them, as among the white man, I find some precious, darling people. Some that are so sweet and so wonderful. God's people, sons and daughters of God, that love the Lord, that's not interested in all of this racial discrimination, all of this fighting and this feuding. I'm glad that I was raised up as a little country boy where we had the black man and lived there with us on the farm, and we worked together and eat together. That way it got me off to a good start. It helped me. People are foolish to fight. Communists wants to divide us, folks. If he can divide us, the devil's got us. All he's got to do is just divide us, get us turned against each other, get us warring with each other. That's all he's got to do. Get a little bitterness in us. That's all he's got to do. And then he's got us. But don't bring that in the church. Don't do that. Don't do that. The Lord help you. God will kill you for it. Some of you white and black alike, you've already lost loved ones, and some of the people that come here, white folks that didn't do right here in my meetings, other places, they're dead in the grave because they wouldn't do right. Don't do that. Don't be foolish and lose your life. Remember, there's a God, a real God, and he just does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. So don't do that. Love one another. Come here and love one another. Be together. And don't look at somebody as a white man, as an old white man. Like Jimmy the Boxer told me in Florida, he said, "Brother Pike, I hated the white man." He said, "But the day you come over and put your hands on my shoulders," he said, "something happened to me." He said, "I don't hate the white man anymore." Don't say that old white man. Don't say that old black man. Don't do that. That's God's creature. That's God's creation. That's God's human being. The little Japanese that eat Thanksgiving dinner yesterday down here on the campground with Charlie, as far as I know, a precious little thing, came down there and told me in his broken English, said, "Brother Pike, I'll help you. He said, I'll help you get your tracts into nationalist China. I'll have them interpreted for you. A yellow man said, I'm a white man. He said, I'll help you. He said, I can't go into communist China. He said, because it cost me my life. But he said, I'll help you. See, we're brothers. I need him. He needs me. And he's wanting to come to America. And Bill, I might be able to do something to help to get him over here. I might be able to help him. We've wrote some influential letters. I might be able to help him. But see, I need him. He's my yellow brother. I need him. He's not that old yellow man with the slanted eyes. He's my brother. He's my brother. I love him. I really think about him a lot, Bob. I think about that man. I was thinking about him yesterday. And for the last few days, I thought about him. And I thought, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to reach that man for Jesus? What can I do? I want to reach him so bad. God, what can I do to get to them yellow folks? How many of you like to get to them yellow people and help them? Lord, what can I do? Let's don't fight. Let's don't do that. Let's love one another. Don't bristle up at people. God's still on the throne. He'll take you down. Can we sing that chorus one more time? I'll go with him through the garden.